Hello and welcome to the 103rd edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And I'm John.
And John is here with us tonight. He has an alter ego. Do you want to say who that is, or you just would be like to be John?
I don't really think it's a secret anymore. Okay. Most of you know me and maybe resent me as the Tasty Greek.
The Tasty Greek, yes. He's with us tonight because lots to talk about. John, as most of you already know, is a resident basketball guru at North Texas. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about basketball, but what everybody wants to talk about right now is conference realignment because
yes.
I guarantee you nobody... Nobody got this excited when we played, when we moved into the Big West or when we moved into the Sun Belt. But this is definitely exciting stuff.
Absolutely. Is my mic on right now?
Yeah, your mic was on, man. What'd you do?
I don't know.
Are you talking into it?
I'm talking directly into it.
Yeah, that's not working.
I hope you guys enjoyed that intro.
Try it now.
Hello?
There it goes. Hear it again.
I turned your mic off. Sorry, dude.
No problem.
Not my full-time job.
No, it's very exciting. You know, it's almost emotional. I mean, it's been a long road. We have been down. Evan, you know, we went out when we were in the Big West. I mean, I can remember the Simon days. I mean, I go back as far as the who was the coach that was there from Marshall. Anyway. It's been a long road, and it's very exciting. This is a conference we've always wanted to be in. Yes, there are some defections, but the bottom line is, you know, very soon, hopefully on Friday, formally, we're going to be able to say we're in a conference with Rice and Tulsa and UTEP and Tulane and Southern Miss, and the list goes on. Great institutions, great football programs, great tradition. Great fan support, great locations for us to travel to.
I want to get into that later because I think that's a huge part of it, the locations. But, you know, getting to this position is a long time. You know, we all felt the letdown the last time Conference USA expanded. We didn't have the facilities. We didn't have the program. We didn't have a lot of the things. We came up short. There's a lot of different didn't haves. So when you look at this and you look at where we're at now, it's a perfect fit. And destination wise, you can't hope for anything better. Football is not where we want it to be, obviously, but basketball has really put us in a position for some really great recognition. And you know, this coming year ought to be great. So what do you want to do? You want to talk about new conference first? Let's talk about a little bit about basketball because that happened before the conference realignment.
So Coach Benford, we got a
Coach
new basketball
Benford,
coach.
Let's talk about that.
And 37 people sigh in frustration as we move away from conference realignment. But yes, we have a new basketball coach, and he seems like a pretty swell guy. Not going to lie, I was a little surprised when we went ahead and hired an assistant from another program. Seemed like something we had specifically said we wanted to avoid doing. Not that I think it was a bad decision, but I was kind of taken by surprise. There were a lot of other big names, a lot of experienced names floating around, guys who had head coaching backgrounds. And when the announcement came down, you know, I was a little surprised. It seemed like all the risk you got with hiring an assistant inside and all the risk you had with hiring an experienced guy who wasn't connected to the program yet. It seemed like all the risk was in the same basket with one guy. And I didn't really, I think, sell myself.
You're referring to Fran Fraschilla.
Fraschilla
was going to be the guy.
Let's talk about that because a lot of people thought Fraschilla was a lock, and that's what it was coming down to. RV wanted an existing head coach. I mean, everything was kind of pointing at the Fraschilla, and then this came out, and we had to, you know, redo the pictures on the site.
This is why we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. I hope you guys have a Mountain West banner ready to go at the top of this thing, too, just in case.
We do.
All right, good.
We do.
I wouldn't be surprised if literally up until Benford's interview, our own department thought Fran Fraschilla was probably going to be our next head coach. It literally would not shock me to hear that they thought they had their man up to and until they met Tony Benford and had him on site, met him face-to-face, walked him around, really kind of got to get to know the guy. And so I don't think that it's not surprising to me that it was so surprising because it was surprising to me when we found out that it wasn't going to be Fran Fraschilla or any of the other experienced names we'd heard. I mean, Rick Villarreal at the beginning of the search said, this is kind of the template for what we're looking for. And Tony Benford doesn't hit everything that was on that checklist. Hasn't been a head coach.
Right. And you know, just talking about old guy student mentioned the ESPN announced that Fran was the guy, and you saw this kind of like, oh, why didn't he get the job?
The interesting thing about that is, ESPN announced Fran was the guy, I think 2 days after Tony Benford had his onside interview, and maybe it seemed like it was slipping away. I wouldn't be shocked, and there was kind of some discussion privately, I think, that this might have been Fran calling his buddy Andy Katz and saying, hey, I could use a strategic story here, maybe get a little heat back under my name, see if I can turn this thing around. But, you know, I mean, there's discussion about maybe it wasn't paying him enough over and above what he would have made at ESPN.
See, I don't buy that. I don't buy it. The guy wants to coach. You read all of the press clippings. You look at the interviews. He has been out of coaching for 10 years. He's made a ton of money. He's reached the pinnacle of what you can in broadcasting. And it's like, he wanted to coach.
And this team was, this was not a bare bench. This was looking good.
For anybody who walks into that. And that's the thing that I'm really amazed by. And Tony Benford has to just be clicking his heels as he walks down the street. Because when you're an assistant at a program taking over somewhere new, very seldom do people hire outside for an assistant coach to take over their head coach job in a team that's ready to succeed right away. Usually, if you're an assistant and you're getting your first crack at a head coach job and you haven't worked there yet, you're taking over a rebuilding project. You're taking over a disaster area. So
okay, so let's talk about that. He's taking over something great. We've got, you know, returning. Tony Mitchell is the big question mark. Does he stay or does he go? He's staying. I mean, he's pretty loaded for next year. He's going to come out like a superstar.
It's very possible. And Benford is an excellent recruiter. And a lot of the guys who've been rumored to be coming on board as part of his staff are also very good recruiters. It's distinctly possible that no matter who they bring in, the best team, the most talented team Tony Benford will ever have at North Texas, if he's here 5 years, 10 years, however long he's here, it could be the 2012-2013 season. It could be next year. Because, I mean, we talked about this a little bit when Tony came on board in the Peach Basket. We talked about it on the board. Tony Mitchell is the biggest deal that Missouri'd ever had. They've been to the Elite Eight. They've got a bunch of guys gone into the NBA. And Tony Mitchell's the biggest recruit they ever landed. I mean, a lot of people will say, we may get a guy who comes in that's delightful to watch. It's just a freak of nature. We've had great guys here in the past. Before 10, 20, 30 years ago, I mean, you hear some of the names of these guys and the stories behind them. But just in terms of just raw, athletic, NBA-ready ability, just overall dominance potential on the basketball court, it's not an insult to anyone who comes later to say we will very likely live and die and never see another Tony Mitchell in a mean green basketball jersey ever again.
Well, and I got to jump in here because I know my mic, they're saying my mic's hot, so I apologize. But
maybe I'm talking about you, Harry.
It could be my voice.
It's a snappy shirt.
It is a very snappy shirt. The number and everything.
I'm not a basketball guy. I'm trying to get there, and fortunately, you know, John and some other guys, Eric, are trying to bring me along and nurse me. But I did go to the Sun Belt tournament in Hot Springs, so that's a good first step. It had a blast. But Evan is even less a basketball guy, so I can kind of bow up against Evan because he's really not a basketball guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can bow up. I did see Tony Mitchell play. I did come to a few games.
Take my story away.
Year.
Go ahead.
No.
What? No, I got Evan to go to a basketball game with me, and I got to tell you, to see the look, the glimmer in Evan's eye when Tony Mitchell was out there.
Creeping me out.
Okay, maybe that's a little strong, but to see how excited Evan got watching him, it was the same excitement I felt when I watched him for the first time. The guy is just amazing.
Yeah, it was, because I never make it to a whole lot of basketball games because, you know, we pretty much blow the wad in football season with all this
kids
stuff. Exactly. And if it's not 3-4 lacrosse right now, I'm just not doing it. So it was wonderful to go. I watched him on TV. I mean, it was just great. Great for the program. I had people come up to me at work saying, you know, man, this guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. I hear he's doing all this stuff, and I'm hearing all these things. They say he's really good, but he's real cocky. And I'm going, wow, you never even follow the program. I'm surprised you're not calling it North Texas State, and you're hearing all this stuff. So, you know, all that is just great for the program. And the fact that he's coming back with the coach and the same players coming around. So everybody sticking around.
Nobody has declared an intention to leave. Now, there's a lot of rumors swirling around about Forrest Robinson, and he's kind of said, his previous coach has said, he's exploring his options. And all year last year, there was some sort of weirdness going on with him, where sometimes he was at games and sometimes he wasn't. He suffered some sort of leg injury. I think it was his left leg. We don't know what it was. Nobody ever really elaborated on it. But when we were down in Austin watching him play against Texas, he wasn't expected to play, and we watched him walking around. I don't believe he warmed up very much. He was walking with a noticeable limp. The guy had some sort of leg problem. And then over the holiday break and around Christmas time, excuse me, there were a lot of games he didn't show up at. We were worried he might have transferred at the semester break, and it hadn't been announced yet or something like that. So I don't want it to sound like the guy's got some sort of focus issue or whatever, but there were a lot of things that happened last year and a lot of just kind of weird deals on top of what him not showing up at the press conference. And maybe he was in class, we don't know. But there's just been a lot of little tiny things that make you wonder whether he's really on board with being here, especially now that the guys that brought him on to the team are gone. So the latest word is no word on Forrest. He's still a member of the team, and there's no announcement that he's going anywhere yet, but there seems to be some smoke there. As always happens with people who may have be academically in trouble, and it's harder for freshmen. I don't want it to sound like we're criticizing, you know, Chris and Jordan about having had a bad semester. It's really, really rough. Basketball is the hardest sport to stay eligible in because your first semester in school, immediately, you are competing for two-thirds or maybe half of the semester that you have to pass. If you fail a class and you're not taking enough to make up for it, you're ineligible. There goes your year. Now, in football, if you play as a freshman and you have a bad semester, by the time it hits you,
season's over.
Season's done. And then you've got
community
spring.
Yep.
You've got spring. You've got summer, three summer semesters, and you've got community college. You can go take out credit hours to pull yourself up. I kind of wonder.
And a few guys do that.
And exactly. I kind of wonder how many guys are not eligible in January that are then somehow eligible again by September because they have a chance to get their feet under them. But anytime somebody gets themselves in that hole, you have to wonder whether they're going to be able to climb out of it. Some guys do. A lot of guys do. Other guys, like Brandon Peters at Western Kentucky, don't. In fact, I don't think Peters ever has. That sounds like he had real problem even at junior college. So you can't 100% commit or guarantee to the concept of Chris Jones being our point guard next year or
Jordan,
you
know, Williams.
Jordan, yeah, Jordan, you're not guaranteed that he's going to be your shooting guard. So, or your small forward, whatever.
What
whatever
about John
at.
Odo?
He signed a letter of intent. Even if we let him out of it, he's got to go sit out a year somewhere. So either he wants to redshirt a year somewhere else or he wants to play right now on, just like with Benford, what's very likely going to be the best basketball team he's ever a member of. So it's kind of a wonder whether he's going to, I don't know. I think a lot of that, I haven't heard anything specific that makes me think he's really wavering or looking at other options, because any other option he takes, having signed an LOI, means he's got to sit. And I know a lot of guys maybe, you know, well, you know, he's wavering, we don't need him, whatever. It's tough, especially for a guy, if you read some of the stories about him being pretty new to this country and not necessarily 100% clear on English, from what I understand. From what I remember reading stories about him, maybe have some trouble communicating on the court with people. His coach is struggling a little bit to make sure that the messages are getting through to him. I started elementary school not speaking English very well at all. And even at the age of, you know, 5 years old, that's a terrifying thing to walk into a strange situation and literally be unable to communicate with people. So if he feels like his support system here is gone, I don't know where he's going to find a better opportunity or one he's more comfortable with, but it's not inconceivable that he might not be as comfortable coming here as he was before.
Hmm.
So just something to think about.
Well, you got to look at it. I mean, who he's got here, this is his best shot. I mean, unless he's got a real grudge on his shoulder. He can go like McNeese. Some people did that.
I think Benford's a good salesman. I think give Benford a shot to get the sales pitch in front of Odo and tell him the fact you got a future NBA lottery pick that you're going to be playing besides. All the NBA scouts are going to be there. Odo's going to change his mind. I think Odo's going to stay. I think Odo's going to stay.
I hope so.
Okay. Any Tate, anything else in basketball we want to hit on before we start talking conference talk and then talk to Mr. Vito?
Preseason NIT. We are in the preseason NIT, Kansas State pod. We know we'll be playing Kansas State, probably Lamar. I can't imagine Lamar going to any other pod. It all seems to kind of break down regionally. We're guessing that the fourth team in that pod is probably going to be a Western Missouri Valley team, like maybe a Northern Iowa, maybe a Mountain West type school, one of the lower end ones of those. If I had to guess, we're probably going to be like the third seed out of the four, with Lamar being the fourth, and they'll probably bring in one slightly better reputation-wise, not talent-wise, for next season.
We had a question in the chat room from UNT Flyer. How many teams advance from each pod?
A very good question. If I remember correctly, all teams that are playing get four guaranteed games that count as one. So you'll play either three or four games against opponents that are also playing in the tournament. Now, if you win your first game, basically at each regional pod, there are two first-round matchups. The winners advance to play each other. And the winner of that game will then go on to Madison Square Garden for the final, basically the final four of the preseason NIT. So if you win two games, you're the one team from your pod of four that moves on. Now, generally, this is set up in a way that the host teams, in this case, Kansas State, Pittsburgh, Michigan, and I am forgetting the fourth one, Virginia, are heavy, heavy favorites, if for no other reason than home court advantage, to move on there. But it seems like every year or two, you'll see an upset. I can't remember who it was last year, but what? Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have all the preseason tournaments we don't play in.
No, I just read Green P1's post about Capper over-anxious tweet about Junior Seau, which is very poor taste, but I thought it was funny. Sorry, I didn't mean
that's
to derail
no
you there.
I thought you were laughing at my basketball
ignorance. No, you know what? And speaking of your
you're
basketball.
You're an encyclopedia, man.
I know, exactly.
That's literally all I have going for me. Exactly. I have a good memory, and I look a lot of stuff up. I am by no means a basketball expert.
Very much like encyclopedia. You even smell like old leather. we were talking about the basketball team, and this could possibly be the best basketball team we've had in years. Do you know the last year we were actually nationally ranked in basketball?
I looked this up once upon a time, and if you're talking AP, I don't know that it's ever happened.
Evidently, when Bill Blakely was here in like 75 or 76, we were like, you know, when we lost like three games or something, we were top like number 20 or something preseason. So,
and you were going to school back then, right? You were
I think that year I was two when that was happening.
Cooley says 76, and if Cooley says 76, then
that's,
by God,
okay, then it is 76.
Cooley, do you know what poll that was? If you could please let us know what poll that was, because I seriously, I looked up the AP history.
Now, is that 76? Is that the year that like the big SMU game, like 10,000 people showed up or whatever? Like the last time the pit was full, was that when that was?
I don't know.
I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but I think it was the Bison.
Why would you ask?
We could ask the athletic department, but they don't have any of that information anymore. All right.
AP, thanks, Cooley. I guess I just am an idiot. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, anybody other basketball historical questions? Cooley is in the room, and we appreciate that. So let's go. Let's move over a little bit. You know, we're moving into this new conference, and we talk about basketball is really big.
Wait. Give me 1 second. I want to. Jesse, Censor by Lori had a very excellent slander of Fran Fraschilla that made me feel better about Tony Benford when I was even slightly wavering on the man. And I know we were all excited about potential of Fran, but he pointed out that it's distinctly possible that Fran Fraschilla was going to be North Texas's Mike Jarvis, which is no knock on Mike Jarvis. He's done some nice things down there, including running off six of their players in this offseason and never winning a Sunbelt tournament game. But it's distinctly possible that even a guy with the skins on the wall like Fraschilla, just like Jarvis, would have had a definite ceiling. So you
and
never
Jarvis
know.
Replaced Fraschilla at St. John's. Is that right? Did I have that right?
It very well might be right.
I think
can neither confirm nor deny because I have no idea.
I think that might be the case, actually.
Well, you know, Fraschilla or whatever, but, you know, we hired a guy that wasn't alive when Eisenhower was in office, unlike SMU. So I'm anxious to see how the next few years turn out.
And Benford was supposedly the runner-up to Larry Brown. Is that correct? Is that what I understood?
You know, I wouldn't press that around because, you know, those pony guys will just be coming over here going, aha! Leftovers.
Yeah. Good for them. Have fun with our sloppy seconds. We fired the guy 20 years ago. Have fun when he's your next coach. with all due respect to Jankovic, thank you for your fine work. Sorry about
Jankovic.
Your AD.
Jank's back.
I cannot believe that. Boy, you know, he's anxious to get back in the pit.
All right.
So, let's talk about, in the new conference, everything's, you know, we talked about basketball's looking good. Football hopefully is on its way up, and we all expect that it is. But golf, women's tennis, we got a lot of sports that are looking, you know, soccer's always been great. We got a lot of sports that really made the off-season news this year. I mean, you know, people don't get excited about golf. Obviously, we had the national championships back in the 50 with Don January and those guys.
Right.
But, you know, we have a good history there. But golf, seeing them ranked where they are, and then the tennis team doing as well as they had. And, you know, Harry, you helped that along because not only did he post the article, but he posted the pictures of the gals playing tennis in the gallery. You can go search those out, and that can even get you more interested in the women's tennis program. So
it's not hard to, I mean, they're easy on the eyes.
Yes, but you know what? They did really well, and they represent the school well, and they play Nebraska, I believe.
Yes, Nebraska in the first round.
So those, it's exciting times for the university all around, but we've all been waiting to hear the words that we're going to have a conference, and this meeting is coming up, and I get people calling me saying, hey, I'm seeing where Louisiana Tech's, you know, going to be in, and UTSA's, you know, they're in and stuff. How come we're not, you know, how come we're not reading anything about
why
us?
Why haven't we announced that we're going to make an announcement about making an announcement yet?
Yeah, or why can't we get
Where's
anything?
Where's Vito?
Yeah, even the Daily puts in something that was retracted because we shouldn't have said that. I'm sure, you know, the information Nazis were all over them like a fat kid on a donut, but you were like, you know, we just don't like to give that stuff out, and we have one media outlet. And I think he's treated like the plague up there. And so he couldn't really get the
story. Did you take like a 5-hour energy or something tonight?
You
were
fired up.
Dude, I'm just telling you, man. I'm just telling you.
I don't need to do the show tonight.
People were asking, how come we're not getting this? We're not getting the news out. How come are we going to be Are we going to be in a conference or not? Are we going to be left behind?
I'm surprised that they're – because, you know, La Tech's announced that they're having their big shindig on Friday, and I think even FIU has made an announcement to that effect. So surely we're going to hear something. It could be on the board right now for all I know. It's got to be announced here pretty soon.
What?
That they're going to have a press conference to announce that we're going to a new conference.
I thought that was going to be on Friday.
Well, has it been announced? I haven't seen anything formally announced.
Did you get an email from any of the coaches?
Not me.
We don't hang out much. I'm seldom invited to socialize with the athletics department.
Well, we always get the look when we're up there. What are you guys doing here?
I'd really feel bad for you, except your website's a hell of a lot better liked than the ones I used to be involved with.
Well, but that's the thing. It's so close. You know, kept so close. UTSA is just like eating it up. Hey, we got a chance to be in. We're going to be on the news. Woo! Get it out there.
UTSA has definitely won the battle of getting the most play out of this announcement. There's no question about it. They were the first ones that came out, and they've milked it for all it's worth. But I will say this. There is something. You know, Conference USA told North Texas, here's the deal. We want you to keep it quiet so we can release it at one time. And, you know, let's do this in an orderly process. I respect and understand that. But what you got to realize is this is the information age. It's very difficult to have an announcement of this magnitude stay quiet for as long as they're trying to make it stay quiet.
Right. And let's talk about UTSA, first of all. I mean, we can talk about when it's going to be announced. Let's hope it's going to be announced Friday because everybody else is doing it, you know.
Yeah.
So let's just hope, you know, we give into peer pressure to do it at the same time. So UTSA.
One of the more experienced football programs coming in.
Yes, exactly. More than Charlotte, more exactly. Than Old Dominion. They have, you know, and during the whole time that their program's been in place, they've had excellent attendance.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is amazing attendance, but
everybody smells like fried chicken though.
The free bucket of chicken. Well, okay, let me just say this. You and I, an Arkansas State fan, had a discussion last summer about before the season, you know, UTSA, what do they have? You know, I don't think it would be a good fit for the belt. He was, you know, I grew up around San Antonio, love San Antonio, love going to San Antonio, love any event that I can excuse to go down there. The whole town gets into a fiesta. The whole town gets into the Spurs. If we're playing a game there, I am there.
Oh,
I am too. If they need somebody somewhere to play a conference championship of any sort of football, dude, that is a perfect location because that's going to be in December, the Riverwalk, the lights, the mariachis. I mean, hey, you know what? A breakfast taco in my hand and I'm good.
Yeah,
I love San Antonio. And when you look at this conference, we got New Orleans. We would have San Antonio. The schools in there, you got some great destinations.
Oh, to me, first off, we have three Texas teams. Do you realize in the Sun Belt, we never had one Texas team in the conference?
Or the Big West.
And we've really, you know, I always hated it when people said, well, I really wish that we'd bring New Mexico State in because, you know, they're a rival. They are not our rivals. If we had a rival, it would be SMU. And we get to play them, it seems like, once every, you know, 20
years. Well, we like
years.
To say they're our rival. They could care less. but, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the whole deal. But, you know, when you look at the schedule, we've got all these schools that we'd like to see. UTEP, Tulsa, Rice, the games that we like to go to and stuff, and Tulane. And then we've got SMU locked in. So we got a schedule that's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be the road best schedule ever had.
UNT90 just put on here, I'll stay in New Braunfels and drive to the dump that is SA. Where do you stay in San Antonio? You know there's a Riverwalk down there? Because there's some really cool little hotels down there. There's the one with the Cuban with the fat guy with the cigars out in front.
I think UNT90 has a valid opinion, and I've heard it from a lot of other North Texas fans.
He is such the middle line. You are the best politician,
no,
Harry.
I'm going to voice it because it's not just 90. It's a lot of other people I've talked to, and Deep Green's on here. He's another one. They haven't paid their dues. They have not, you know.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the university.
I thought you were talking about UNT90. Well, I just thought maybe he's like secretly Mike Bassick and none of us knew it.
No,
and that's why you're trying to stay nice.
I'm saying
just kidding.
They're angry about it.
That I know. And I know, Thor, there's a lot of people that are unhappy about the whole UTSA situation. But you know what? I'm to the point now where I'm bracing it going, it is what it is. If you had to bring in a school that hasn't paid their dues, I like their location.
So somebody's going to be the piece of shit team that comes in.
Yeah.
And once upon a time, if it was a two-team edition, it very well could have been us everybody was complaining about. And if it wasn't us, it could have been La Tech. So now there's four teams you can make a case that are worse than us coming into this league. So if it gets dragged down, well, by God, at least it's not our
That's
fault.
True. And, you know, we were, you know, everybody was talking about us. Now we feel like we're on a pedestal and we're talking down to them. But if it had to be somebody, I'm happy to the UTSA because I think it's a great location. And we're, I mean, as far as destination.
And don't forget, you know, Benson Shrewd, he's sitting there waiting to see what decisions that the Conference USA makes. And whoever we don't pick, he's going to pick. And I don't think there's any question in my mind. He would have taken UT San Antonio if the Conference USA hadn't have done it. And you got to respect that attendance. You got to respect that market segment. There is a lot of upside. They're not going to be good on the field. I know that. But the fact of the matter is that's a great destination. They've got a lot of people showing up. That's impressive. That's a Division II schedule that they averaged, what, 45, 50,000 fans in the stands?
Okay, yeah, and it is a destination. I'm going to keep saying that because if you look at Tulsa, okay, that's a team we all talk about would be good to be aligned mm-hmm. with and like that. Would you rather go to the Tulsa? The only thing to go to Tulsa is because the Outsiders was written about Tulsa. That's about it. I mean, if you look at where you would rather go for a game, I'm sorry, I'd rather pick San Antonio.
They got a WNBA team.
Okay.
No,
the Mission's still
stopped
there?
Down. Completely stopped down
that
the podcast.
Was, yeah, okay. That's they got the Mission's.
Look,
there,
somebody's going to be terrible in every conference. Right. Usually a couple of somebodies. And if the worst team in your conference, and we're assuming that's going to be San Antonio, if it proves to be that way, well, then at least you can not have to spend a whole hell of a lot of time driving there and back, and there's a nice thing to do while you're there. I love road trips and basketball season that I can justify as being some sort of husband and wife trip now. So that's why I love the basketball tournament in L.A. It's why I love going to Hot Springs every year. More and more wives tag along, which makes it even less of a sales job.
Because you're a family guy now.
I am.
Oh, you've so mailed sad. It in.
But
man.
The point is.
Welcome to our world. Wait until the freaking
I'm going
games.
To I'm going Little to Houston. League. Little League. I'm going to Houston because my wife's family lives in Houston. So it's an easy sell to go to the football game. And she likes San Antonio. So when we play San Antonio in basketball or football, it's easier to go. Somebody's going to suck. It may as well be somewhere where I can convince my family to go.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. All right, now let's talk about El Paso on here. Before we talked about, we've burned everything down, and everybody hates me now because of the whole San Antonio thing. Let's talk about El Paso. It is a cheap flight. One time Harry and I went out to New Mexico State, which is, you know, hop, skip, and a jump away from El Paso. And we had the bright idea was, you know what, the flights there are expensive. Let's just fly into Midland and drive the whole rest of the way.
That's still like an 8-hour drive.
I know, but it cut it in half. And let me just tell you, you know, it was still like 6 hours. If we hadn't have won that game at New Mexico State, it would have been a beating on the way back. That was Dickey's big win. But it is a long way out there. But you can get good flights on Southwest. And I've never been to that stadium. I've always wanted to go.
Oh, I'm there. I mean, you know, Evan and I made a pact, and I've told a couple of people about this. I hope some other people on the board join us in this because it'll be fun. But our first year in Conference USA, we are going to go to every single away game just to kind of soak in and experience the different places. In El Paso, I'm telling you, that's a cool place. It's in the mountains. There's a lot of people in the stands. That's going to be a fun place to go and watch a game.
Stray bullets. Oh, no, it's perfect. No, I
that's
really,
on the other side.
I would love to go to San Antonio. That's our thing. And, you know, people are talking about, what about New Orleans? I'm not discounting New Orleans. But, I mean, we've got great locations. We've got boobs. We got tacos. We've got everything in this section we're probably going to have. When you look at Tulsa as the real down destination or La Tech, even though it's close to Shreveport.
They're also the closest ones.
They are the closest ones.
I mean, you look, Houston is 4.5 hours. How far is Houston? I never go directly
it's
to
five
Houston.
5 hours.
Okay. It depends on where in Houston you're going because it's always spread out like crazy.
So, I mean, you know, Houston, you got Rice. You know, New Orleans is an easy flight. El Paso is an easy flight. San Antonio is easy.
Rustin has a Wendy's.
Let me jump in on the Houston. I got to make, because I'm from Houston, I got to make the, and you and Tasty both brought up Houston as a, you know, with Rice being there. Houston is, there are a ton of North Texas alums in Houston, and they get no information. They get no media coverage. There's great recruiting in football and basketball there. That's one of the things I'm most excited about this Conference USA is opening that avenue. And I know Rice isn't necessarily Houston.
Doesn't matter. It's still North Texas that's going
to
be there.
It's still the fact we get to go into Houston every other year in football, every year in basketball. And it opens up some great recruiting channels in connection with our alumni. I mean, I can't wait for that.
Well, the projected area that we're going to play in this conference, you've got SMU as we're going to play every year. The home and away with SMU for 4 years.
It's starting in 2014, and it goes for like 6 or 7 years.
Right, it goes for a while. So you look at UTSA, Houston, Tulsa. Well, I say Houston Rice. Tulsa, El Paso. I mean, these are all pretty makeable games. We're not talking $300 flights.
Tulane. No. Tulane.
Somebody asked, let me interrupt for a second. Somebody asked how far it is to El Paso. And the funny thing about it is, for all the people that said, we need a Texas regional rival, it's as long a drive to El Paso as it is to South Alabama to get to Mobile. So you're not driving there, but you can hop Southwest and not have to, you know, change flights to get there.
Exactly. That's one of the good things. It feels like you're flying to another state, but you're really not. But that's the thing. These are easily makeable. You could make at least two away games every year, probably.
Or five or six basketball games.
Deep Green says we're ignoring Ruston, and I don't really consider it Ruston. I consider it Shreveport because my wife loves to gamble, and that's a great trip too, man. I mean, seriously, that's, you know, to go to Shreveport and spend the night and do a little gambling, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
You guys don't look like you're buying what I'm selling.
You know, I'm not really
sold on the whole state. The whole state of Louisiana, just I've never been a fan of. It's just it has all the aesthetic appeal of a chemical toilet. Yeah,
the best thing about that northern Louisiana area is the road going out of I-20 there. That's about as good as it gets there. No, I mean, you know what? Everybody likes. I mean, Shreveport, I don't mind. I mean, it's an easy drive. It's something like that. Ruston is very makeable. It is very makeable. It's not really a destination. Now, some of you guys that are, you know, obviously don't want to go to San Antonio might think that Ruston's better, but you know, it's an easy makeable game. You can stay in Shreveport. At least you have some options there. Like I said, the biggest downer of this would be Tulsa, and I don't really think that's a big downer. So,
it's a huge improvement over where we've been. Now, I say that I don't want to slam the belt because we had some good times in the belt. We had some. We went to the New Orleans Bowl 4 straight years in a row. Okay, you guys are killing me here. What?
Okay.
Somebody slamming me on the board.
No, nobody's slamming.
Greenback called
Thorpe
me a pussy. I see that.
No.
Okay,
no.
Great. Now this is going to be unfamily friendly. I gotta have to change the thing on iTunes now.
Derek made a fart joke, and so we giggled.
Yeah, okay. Monroe smells like a lingering fart. He said. And he says, Thor says, I enjoyed the Monroe trips. I mean, I remember going that whole, do we fire Dickie? Do we keep Dickie? And RV was pacing.
Oh, the bus ride.
I was on that bus ride. Wow. I was sitting at the back. And Emmett, love you to death. Rick, firefighting Rick, love you to death too. But I'm sitting there back by the bathroom. And those two guys were back there. And every time somebody would come to the bathroom, the same conversation would start up about get rid of Dickie or keep Dickie. The whole way back. Turned my wife off to North Texas football for like 3 years because every time 5 minutes, because everybody wanted to talk to him about what they thought. And we heard the same thing over and over again. So I have bad memories of Monroe. It's not really a great destination, but you know, talk about like people are talking about, do you take this like farewell trip around the Sun Belt to see some of these games? I wish I had gone and seen Idaho in the Kibbe Dome. Never saw a game there, but a lot of people like, you know, it's one of those boxes you have to check off. Maybe not. I don't see, you know, Middle Tennessee as being a big box to check off. Never saw a game there, but in person.
I actually did. It's not bad, but it's a pretty good haul getting there, that's for sure.
All right. Yes, old guy students in Wayne Gray has no road trip to La La, and that's a lot of people.
That's a fun place. We're going to miss those guys. Hopefully, maybe we can still schedule them down the road.
But
that's one of the other nice things. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But one of the other nice things about moving up to Conference USA is I don't want to turn our back on the Sun Belt teams. Now we have one more conference that, perception-wise at least, in the pecking order, you can schedule home-and-home games with, and it's something where there's an incentive for them.
No, you're exactly right.
It's not going to be hard to get a home-and-home game with Western in basketball or Lafayette in football or any of these teams. You're not going to have to be like, well, shit, are we going to go get a money game or are we going to go pay Texas Southern to be our sixth home game or something like that?
The belt's going to be fine, and there's these people that slam the belt and everything else. You know, remember where you came from. We've got relationships with these schools, and we need to keep those going forward. That's only going to help us.
Florida International. We went to the road trip this year, their Rector Set Stadium. It was very interesting. They had some great food. It rained the whole damn game. But they had some great food. And I'll tell you what, next time we play Ford International, I'm going back. Not for the facilities, but the destination. I'm taking the wife. Because,
it was a great
trip. Because the hookers weren't worth a damn. Just kidding.
What is going on?
Blew the family friendly out of the water. Okay, and so I've already got to change the tag on iTunes. But no. You know, going to the beach, Rob and I rented Vespas, which was probably the most unmanly thing we could have done. But just going down up and down South Beach and the food.
The weather.
The food at the game.
Yeah.
It had some of the best stadium
chicken,
food.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. It was all real good. So it was a great experience, you know, besides the actual game. So that's on my list. So I'm kind of glad they're in the same conference, whether or not we meet them.
Hey, they had a good football program, and they got a good coach that turned down some pretty big-time job offers to stay there. So I think it's a good move. I feel bad for Florida Atlantic, but the reality of it is, you know, Florida Atlantic came up short this round. But no, Florida International, if you hadn't gone to Miami, make that trip the next time we get the opportunity to play there. It's a good time for sure.
Yeah, it was a good location. Of course, we stayed at the team hotel, which is always interesting. But yeah, that's a good location. What other schools have piqued interest? What about the whole Charlotte Old Dominion thing? Tacey, you probably got a little thought on that.
They're good at basketball. Charlotte used to be good at basketball. Now they're decent at basketball. Old Dominion has historically speaking, in the last 10 to 15 years, been consistently exceptional for periods, and then they'll rebuild for a year or two like a lot of mid-major teams do outside the power conferences, and then be exceptionally good again. They win NCAA tournament games. They're pretty good.
Yeah, and I think it was a move to placate the eastern side of Conference USA, which I think is a good move, because why do you want to get into a new conference situation when the eastern side of the conference, you know, the big players there, East Carolina and Marshall, are unhappy about the, you know, you'd like to think that we can make this thing go forward for a while, even though we know if the Big East comes calling, you know, East Carolina's gone. That being said, it's nice to know that they got a little piece, you know, of the pie as well.
Yeah, I don't want to backtrack a little bit, but Flyer's putting up some mileage on the in the chat room here. He's talking about that. Everything's scrolling on me. Tulsa's 274 miles. Rice is 283 miles. Louisiana Tech is 290 miles, and the Alamo Dome is 303 miles. So you're looking at a difference of less than 50 miles to all of those locations.
It's awesome.
I mean, and that's great. I mean, that's 6 hour drive tops. Well, except for he didn't do El Paso, but somebody did.
There it is.
New Orleans 546.
Thank you, Flyerpedia.
Yes, wow. Somebody's got the Google Earth working. 526 to Southern Miss, which is farthest, and New Orleans is 546, but that's an easy flight. So is El Paso.
Yeah,
Southern Miss might be the most complicated, but I don't think that's going to be in our pod or whatever it is, wing of the conference.
No, I don't. I think Southern Miss probably goes to the eastern side. Everything I'm hearing right now, especially with Old Dominion and Charlotte coming in, is that the good news is we'll get both Tulane and Louisiana Tech in our pod, and that's to, you know, New Orleans and Ruston Shreveport. That's not a bad, you know, road trip for us. So that's a good. I love the way our section is working out, and I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, that's helping you to stick around for years.
One thing that kind of drags me down about going to 14 teams is, in a lot of the sports where you're counting on an automatic bid to the postseason, conference championship, you're fighting 13 other teams in a postseason.
So you got to go at large.
I'm kind of excited about the conference championship, the whole football conference.
Oh no, I don't mean the football conference championship.
No, I know you're talking about
our golf team. We've had a really good past couple of weeks with our golf team, our tennis team.
You're exactly right.
You know, our basketball team coming up 1 minute short, tragically. When you've got to fight through another five or six teams to get to that point,
tragically.
It was tragic.
It was. I know. You're absolutely. It was very tragic. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I was
it's
there. Right. That was a tragic moment. That was a tragic
moment.
Oh,
man.
I'm getting choked up just thinking about it.
Wow. That was.
Anyway.
All right. Happy things. Happy
things.
Yeah. Happy things. Rainbows, puppies.
I was happier about Conference USA when there were 12 teams in it. But I would rather be the 14th. I would rather be one of 14 teams in Conference USA than one of 10 teams in the Sun Belt, even as it was before, and certainly as it's developing now, which is not a knock on the league. They're doing what they have to do to survive, and there are a lot of teams in there that, if many of you may recall, beat the crap out of us in a lot of sports last year.
Yes, sir.
So, haters, keep it to yourselves, because those were our friends, and they are still respectable programs, the ones that are respectable. There's at least one or two I think you can knock consistently across the board. But, you know, I wish I wish that we didn't have to play 14 teams to see women's basketball, men's basketball, golf, all these teams guaranteed a slot in the postseason, because at-large bids are hard in any sport.
Right.
So,
No, I got you there. Somebody put baseball. We're talking about baseball here. Somebody put on here earlier, I don't remember who it was, said that UNC Charlotte was had a pretty good baseball program there. And, where are we at with baseball? You know, that's a priority. And when Harry and I were talking to RV last time, he had all these priority on the boards, his little wish list. And baseball's a big part of it. He's put together a committee. They're looking at it, the location. They got a lot of things working there. So
it's going to happen. The question is just how soon
it'll happen. Right. That's the whole deal. Because personally, I know there's a lot of people that are huge baseball fans. I'm not.
So, I'm not really a college baseball fan either, but you know, you got, right now my life is broken up into football season, basketball season, and wife season. There's 5-6 months out of the year where I do whatever the hell she tells me so that I can keep going to football and basketball games. And wow. It'll be nice when baseball rolls around. We've already talked about this with Mean Mag. Then we have something else we can go do, and I don't have to look at paint swatches on the weekend or whatever.
Paint swatches, dude, you emasculating so, thing. Holy cow, man.
Yeah, it's sad what's happening to me.
How quickly they fall. How quickly they fall, Harry. Yeah, wait until you're... Well, anyway.
Actually, I'm not a baseball fan, but I can sure as hell get myself into it. I don't mind. I'll sweat out there at 100-degree, 103-degree heat in the summertime. I just like seeing us do stuff. I'll learn to love it.
Okay, are we going to try to do veto? Or?
There's a thought. Let me see how much time we've recorded on this deal, and maybe we will.
Maybe a little quick veto.
Yeah, well,
why don't you split it in half? Why don't we wrap it up and then let Vito do, you know, because I sincerely doubt we're going to get Brett on and off in 15
well,
minutes.
Well, we've got 40 minutes on here. We could do 20 minutes with Vito.
Okay.
We want to do the timer thing with him again? No, that was kind of uncomfortable.
That was kind of uncomfortable.
I think you should do 103 and then just do 104 with Brett.
You know, the thing about Brett is, and people have their problems with Brett, and we've known him for a long time. Brett works hard at what he does.
Yes, he does.
You know, we've been at games, away games, and we're like, hey, we're going to go out. If, you know, he is working on the stuff. He eats, lives, sleeps, breathes North Texas. And whether or not you agree with his opinionated side, he does a good job. And so getting him on here, we're lucky to have him.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and pause the podcast, and we will go ahead and mute this because I know a lot of people would like to get his number. And
he's
so,
got some zingers, I think, tonight, too, so hang around.
Yeah, I think he's
got
some good opinions.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to be as feisty as everyone else seems to have been.
No,
let's
see what he's got. Maybe he's got a Ray update.
Maybe.
That would be great.
The inaugural Conference USA hypothetical podcast has been a heck of a lot more, saucy?
Yes.
Is that a good word for
spicy.
It?
Spicy, exactly.
We'll see what Vito's got.
We've gotten to rest since the last game. I'm just happy we actually won some games in football. That was... You know, having 100 podcasts with losing seasons.
Football's fixing to get really fun. Just watch.
No, that was fun this year. It was great, man. You can friggin' get a Sonic chili cheese dog at the stadium. All right, I want to pause it here. There it goes. All right, and once again, we are joined on the phone with the beat writer for the University of North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Brett, you been busy lately?
Yeah, how's work?
Yeah. Is this not the craziest spring that you could remember in North Texas history?
Ever.
I mean, seriously?
Ever.
Yeah, I hope you didn't have vacation plans.
I mean, think about it. I mean, some of the old-timers might be able to help us on this one. But, I mean, think about it, really. I mean, the football coach, you know, thank God it didn't happen. It's, you know, for a while there, we thought he might have damn near dropped dead before spring practice. And then, you know, he goes through his whole recovery. We have a spring practice. Then you have two, Giant Jones and Karen Aston leaving kind of long, drawn out, will they, won't they go kind of things. Then they hire two new ones. And then I know a lot of people don't pay attention to some of the minor sports, but then, you know, UNT hosts the tennis tournament and, you know, they win it to go back to the NCAAs, which is nice for North Texas, you know, for a program like that, second time in 3 years. And then all of a sudden, bam. I think North Texas has changed conferences, what, 9 times in its entire history since, like, 1913? And they, you know, and then they go and change conferences all in one fell swoop here. So it's been a heck of a couple of months, that's for sure.
Well, Brett, there's been a lot of, you know, speculation of when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen, when's the conference. You know, we were talking earlier on the pod about UTSA having all this news and everything coming out, and they announced that, you know, they were going to be doing this, and everything was breaking. And North Texas seems to be kind of tight-lipped on everything, and people are calling me going, hey, they didn't even mention North Texas. What, you know, what's really going on? So, I mean, has it been tough to get information?
Well, I mean, it just depends on the school that you're dealing with and how they want to approach it and how many, you know, people are willing, how many people leak that kind of information and stuff like that. And it has been kind of quiet. I mean, the story kind of broke and we, you know.
It was CBS. It was multiple. CBS that broke it, right? CBS local.
Yeah, I mean, there were multiple, you know, there was about 4 different outlets that all had the story on a Monday night, you know, a random Monday night at like 9:00. And were able to get it into their various outlets. We didn't even have enough time to get it into the actual newspaper, so we wrote it for online. and you know, and some people had it on their late newscasts or whatever. The interesting thing will be when the whole official announcement comes down. That'll be interesting to see when that all comes together, because there's a lot of moving parts to it. I mean, you're not talking about one school. You're talking about a multitude of schools joining one league, and they're going to want to, I would assume they're going to want to coordinate to one announcement on one afternoon with that many schools coming in. So it'll be interesting to see the way, you know, if they have the press conference, when they have it, you got the Mavs going on and the Rangers, and the timing of the whole thing will be very interesting. That's for sure.
So Brett, you've been covering North Texas sports for how long now? Is it like 8 years?
Since about 2003.
Okay. So eight years or so. How big is this Conference USA move for UNT? I mean, what, in your view, as you know, someone that's covered the program, where does this fall?
I think this is a huge thing for North Texas. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, you're talking about they've been kind of, I remember writing a series about conference realignment a couple of years ago and kind of talking about how they've been meandering through the wilderness of, you know, various leagues that, you know, never seem to quite fit right. You know, they're in this league, they're in the Big West, they're going here, they're going there, and they just never seem to land in a place where they're in with a bunch of schools that they felt, you know, that they felt good about, that would bring fans and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that the Sun Belt was a bad league. I think the Sun Belt was a great league for North Texas, but I think bottom line, I mean, you know, I think they needed to be in a league with other Texas schools if they could possibly help it, just because of the nature of the sports fans in the area. And you know, Tulsa would be, you know, Tulsa schools like that, regional rivals that people were really interested in, and now all of a sudden, finally, plop, you know, here they go, they land in a league that's kind of everything that they were hoping for all these years, you know. And I think when you talk about stories that have, or you know, events that affected North Texas in a dramatic way, I think that has to rank right up there with potentially the stadium. I mean, you think about the stadium, you know, Apogee Stadium may sit there for, what, 50 years or something like that? You know, so I think, I mean, maybe the stadium might be bigger, but you can make the argument that the conference thing is even bigger just because of the logistics of it and the impact it'll have across the board, not just for football, but for basketball, for all their other sports. So maybe it is the biggest thing that's happened in the last 20 years, 50 years, whatever.
Brett, a lot's been made of UTSA and you know, people saying, you know, are they there? Should they didn't pay their dues? Should they be in? And you know, some stuff's been made about UT El Paso. Are they too far? Would they be a better fit for the Mountain West Conference? Tell us what your views on those two there, and what you're kind of reading into it.
You know, it sounds more and more like UTEP will end up on the other side of it. You know, that's been bantied about, that they might go to the Mountain. They might end up on the Mount West side, depending on how the whole merger of the two leagues go. If the two leagues merge, how that all works, if it's a gradual deal. You know, there's some thought about them going to the other side of it, maybe not being directly in with North Texas in an immediate conference situation. I mean, and UT San Antonio, yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand some people think, okay, well, you know, they haven't been playing football that long or whatever, but neither is Florida International. You know, I think the thing that I find interesting about the whole conference realignment thing this time around, and, you know, Harry's talked about it before and so has everybody else, is that it seems to be like the biggest thing became TV markets for TV contract purposes and not so much your history and, you know, fan support or ticket sales or anything else. It was all about, you know, are you in a market that can bring TV dollars? Which, you know, to me is kind of, you know, it seems like kind of an odd deal, you know, whereas you look at a program with the history of North Texas and all the, you know, all the rich history that it's had and how long they've been playing football and things like that, while you're landing in the same league as, you know, some schools that don't have that long history and maybe don't have that rich tradition or as much fan support as North Texas, or, you know, there's some schools and leagues that are going to have way more attendance average or interest or can bring more to the table in those regards, but they don't, But the thing that's attractive about some of these schools is that they have a big TV market. And I think that's what's interesting about the whole deal. And that's obviously what UT San Antonio brings, a lot of potential and a big TV market. You know, and they certainly capitalized on it, and looks like, you know, they're going to be into a pretty big league in pretty short order that way.
Go, Brett, talk a little bit about basketball.
Talk a little bit about basketball.
There are a lot of things I know, and I'm just going to get gang tackled here in the chat room. But, you know, with the Francella, we already talked about it a little bit earlier, but, you know, was it Francella, and then it went to Benford? You know, everything's been kind of thrown around. There's been a lot of basketball stuff in the offseason. What's the latest on the players? Are you getting more vibes on who could possibly be leaving, or are we keeping the status quo?
You were saying you had a chance to talk to Bill Foy. Can you tell us anything about that conversation?
Yeah, I talked to Bill today a little bit. I think the interesting thing about Bill Foy is I think he was just kind of underappreciated during his tenure at North Texas. You heard a lot about, you know, some of the other coaches on staff that did a great job in recruiting. And I'm not saying those guys didn't. I think Sean Forrest did a fantastic job for North Texas in terms of recruiting and getting them into the pipeline in the Dallas area. And I think that was, you know, very well followed and talked about. Charlie has always been that bench guy, the guy for Johnny to lean on, did a ton of evaluation of players and things like that and tape. And, you know, I just think maybe, you know, as Bill – you know, Bill's not going to be back next year. I think maybe this is the time that we recognize, hey, you know, this guy really did contribute a heck of a lot.
Well, I don't think he's going to
– that's over 6 years, you know.
Sorry, Brett, I didn't mean to step in. I was just going to say, I don't think he's going to be unemployed for very long with as long as he's been around and as well-connected as he is in NCAA and JUCO basketball.
No, and, you know, I went back and looked and, you know, and asked, and he was here 6 years. North Texas, 127-68 in those 6 years.
Wow.
And just some of the players he recruited. Tristan Thompson, you know, I remember that from back when he came from prep school. He was a Bill Foy recruit. The original lead on Josh White in Louisiana, Johnny sealed that deal and did a lot of the heavy lifting at the end. But the original lead came from contact that Bill Foy had with another coach in another Division I program. Brandon Walton, who was a pretty key player last year. Jacob Holman, that was another guy that Bill found. Alzie Williams, and of course everybody, you know, remembers Eric Trammell. He was the MVP of the conference tournament the second time that they went to the NCAA tournament. He was a guy that Bill brought with him from Paris Junior College, where he won a national title. So, I mean, you know, just I was getting ready to post a blog about it, and I hope that Bill, and I'm sure he will, I hope that Bill lands on his feet somewhere, lands on his feet and, you know, gets a different gig someplace. But I just think he's a coach that should be appreciated. And that's not to say that he should have been retained. I think Coach Benford is going to do a terrific job putting together his staff. He brought a very good coach with him from Marquette, who I got a chance to, you know, stand around and chat with a little bit today, you know. And, you know, I think that the staff will be a good staff. But I just think it's interesting that, you know, one of the guys that really helped in the last era of North Texas basketball is, you know, leaving the fold there. So we just kind of hope that he, wish him the best, and hope that he lands someplace.
Any word on Jeff Luster? We saw him at the Great American Shootout last weekend, and he was still wearing mean green gear, and he still had a coach's pass around his neck. But it seems like, I seem to recall that they had posted his job on the UNT job board, basically. Do you have any idea if he's going to stay on board as a director of basketball ops?
Jeff's still around at this point. I'd hesitate to put words in anybody's mouth about, you know, how this all plays out, because I think it's a, you know, it's a fairly sensitive subject. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Benford's out there looking for coaches, looking for people to join his staff. We know the one's already there, and it's pretty evident that he's pursuing, Rob Evans. I mean, that's been bandied about. I don't think that's a big secret, but I think it just depends on how everything shakes out as far as whether he stays or not. And, you know, he'd be a great guy to keep around if that's the direction they decide to go. He's another coach that has done a lot of good things for North Texas through the years as the operations guy.
We just had a post in the chat. We're doing a live chat right now, Brett, and UNT Flyer just posted that and he didn't tell me the source.
Trolling.
Yeah.
He's just stirring up trouble.
Troll.
He says the conference plans to announce the addition of five new members by Friday. A Conference USA source said Charlotte, Florida International, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, and Texas San Antonio. They will replace the four schools that are leaving to join the Big East in 2013. So it sounds like Old Dominion may be waffling.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing that was floated out there was that, you know, there was the thought that maybe Old Dominion wouldn't work out and that potentially Middle Tennessee could slide into that spot. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's been floating around out there.
Evan didn't like that. You know, they just, Evan didn't like that idea.
What, the Mutts?
Yeah, I saw you sigh.
Well, I just, you know, I would rather kind of fit in there. But why wouldn't Old Dominion want to do that?
Because
I don't know if it's a matter of whether they would want to do it. I think it'd be sometimes it's a matter of whether those schools are prepared to do it or are able to or can. Because, I mean, I think there's certain things that you have to have in place. And, you know, I think the conference would make some – we'll put down some parameters. Okay, well, this is what we're going to need in our new members. You know, maybe they look at Old Dominion and say, okay, well, they do fit, they don't fit. We think they might fit, they might not fit. You know, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion now who some of those teams are going to be. But, you know, you get some surprises sometimes. I mean, you know, the Sun Belt, it looked – for sure, like they were going to, you know, we all knew about UTSA for sure, but it looked like, you know, we kind of said in the paper, you know, probably another team would be UTA would be going to the Sun Belt. And they didn't announce that today. They acknowledged they had some talks with, that they've had talks with UTA, but, you know, Carl Benson today was saying, well, we're going to wait and see how things shake out with some other conferences.
UT.
You know, so
UNT
once
does.
Maybe once Conference USA gets flying upset and everything, they'll reevaluate, and maybe UTA goes there, maybe they don't.
Maybe they'll get Kilgore. You know, who knows? Why not if you're fishing in the UTA pool?
Well, the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'd just be interesting to see. Because, I mean, they'd be an intriguing school to see where they go just because they're so close. They invested all that money in the basketball arena there. You know,
so we can't do
something else out there.
So Brett, we can't do trust in the Johns anymore, but I think
I know, isn't that, that's awful. That was the great saying there.
You got to find something new, man.
How about trust in the Tonys? Cause we got Tony Benford and Tony Mitchell. That might work.
Yeah, that'll work at least.
That'll last you about 11 months, sadly.
Well, you know, CJ Wama's got two NCAA bids in the last three years, but I haven't figured out how we can, you know, Wama, I don't know how we can work that in somewhere. I'm not sure, but, you know.
See that?
Yeah.
I'll have to figure something out.
It said,
hey, Brett, somebody's reporting that Michael Stojakovic tweeted, adios, North Texas, it's been real. So maybe we should let you go so you can get on the phone.
I saw that earlier. I think he's just kidding. I think he's, like, making fun of people that go out and say all this stuff on Twitter. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I don't know.
You should probably check it out.
Why are you talking to us, Brett? Why haven't you called him yet? You're really slacking on the job. And I want you to schedule a press conference about this realignment thing. And I want you to be in four places at once. And quit being so positive and or negative, depending on what I'm angry about today. Please.
Yeah, it's usually the way it works.
All right.
You know,
good. So, Brett.
Positive, negative. But, you know, I mean, the interesting thing is, I mean, they're clearly out there, you know, as the staff's out there recruiting other players from, you know, when they seem to be full on scholarships. And so we'll have to see how it all works out. I'm sure that
something's going to have
turnover. There always is.
So, Brett, tell us, obviously, this is usually your semi-downtime, and it's not really happening.
Not this year.
I hope you didn't have to cancel any vacations or anything, but tell us what's going on. What do you got coming up? Stories? I mean, obviously, you're waiting for the Conference USA thing to happen, but what's going on the blog? Stories coming up?
Well, I was getting ready to post something here on Coach Foy, like I mentioned. Of course, we'll be – we finally got the Conference USA thing out of the way to a certain extent as far as the initials. Now we're waiting to see when that press conference will get called. So that will be interesting to see what happens there. I'm going to try to get back to, I don't know if anybody saw it, But I wrote a pretty big feature on Paula Denuda, a girl that came over and barely spoke any English and now is graduating, go to grad school. I'll probably dip back in and try to do something on the UNT tennis team before they go to the NCAA tournament. And they might darn near win a first round match. I mean, they're playing, it'd be tough, but they're playing Nebraska the first round. I might try to delve back into that and see if there's another good story to tell there about a UNT athlete that's doing some good things. And there's always some out there. And then of course we're just waiting to officially get the press conference and write about what's going on with Conference USA.
Well, once things slow down, you got any big summer vacation plans? You and the wife heading out anywhere?
Yeah, Vicky and I are going to Portland. I'm hoping that, the funny thing is, I swear, every time I get on a plane, by the time I land, I turn my cell phone back on, the you-know-what has inevitably hit the fan. Always.
So when are you leaving for this trip? Because that's when we get into... Yeah, when are you leaving? Because that's when the Conference USA happens, we're pretty sure.
Well, fortunately, it's going to be... It's long enough down the line that I think I'll be safe, that everything will be over by then. But I'm just hoping I'm not going to be, holed up in some hotel room with my laptop. Because that's usually what happens. I'm usually...
Where's Vito? Where's Vito?
Yeah, where's Vito? Is he not covering the program anymore? He doesn't care.
No, where'd he go? That's the problem. There's only one of me. It's not like we have a staff of 20 people or something like that.
Well, you'd think, since you are the prime media outlet for the athletic department, that they would call you on these things. But I guess they really don't want to promote it, or they just don't want to do it. So we do appreciate the coverage, and we appreciate you being on with the spread as usual. But, this year with these games being where they're at last time, and then, the following year, we're hoping that you will come out afterwards to the post-game party with us after you're done with your stories.
That's right. Have a couple beers with us.
Yeah, the problem is usually by the time I'm done writing for both papers and frantically scrambling around to get everything written for both places, I'm usually walking out of there and everybody is stumbling drunk or has passed out or gone home by that.
Were you at Florida International? I don't remember being there. No, that's right. You were at Florida International. You were the only one not getting wet.
No, he was getting wet because remember the press box was a tent.
Oh no, that's where George and Harry were at.
Yeah, yeah, no,
funny thing about George and Hank. They always say, "Oh, there's no press box there." There actually is a press box, but it's actually a press box. What they don't have is they don't have like a place for the radio. For the visiting radio people, it's just really weird because, the announcer's in the same box with you, and that guy's a big yeller. He's in there yelling the whole night. They put the radio crew out in tents, and then you've got everybody in there. I mean, they're building it in stages, and they just haven't built that stage of it yet, which is smart on their part. I mean, who cares what if the radio guys and the newspaper hacks and all those, people like that are comfortable and happy and whatever. I mean, the thing you're doing is you're trying to make sure that your facility is attractive to recruits that are the lifeblood of your program.
Yeah,
get all that stuff done to appease all of us, all the other people that are kind of surrounding the program.
Yeah, their stadium was definitely kind of a record set. But yeah, when we walked up to the stadium and you could see the little Walmart tent with George and Hank out there, and it's raining and lightning. And I'm like, that's not a really good place to be surrounded by wires.
You guys talking a lot of smack about their stadium. I bet you Florida Atlantic's hiring a wrecking ball to tear out their press box right now since they couldn't get into Conference USA.
I actually think Florida International is going to do some kind of expansion to their stadium, if I recall. But I might be wrong.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's
if Toys R Us sold out of Kinex, they couldn't build anymore.
Up the other side. So it's just a matter of time before they get all that stuff done.
Well, Brett, we appreciate you being on with us. We'll keep checking in, and we might
see you Friday, actually, if everything goes according. If we finally get an announcement, it sounds like everyone else is doing it Friday, so maybe we'll get a chance to see you up there.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Brett.
Okay, take care, Brett.
Pow.
All right, I cut him off there, but.
Oh, goodness. Still on the right. Yeah, I got it. So you've had the orchestra playing for about 15 minutes now.
Yeah.
Are we not going to visit
nice
anymore?
I don't think Brett can hear that. No. But you know what? It's good that Brett's on there. He's always great to talk to. And
Wonderful guy.
We still have other lives away from North Texas. That's his job. So he's there all the time. But anyway, yeah, I did turn on the music because we're past an hour.
So
people are listening in their car. Yeah, we're done, man. We can't do this for any longer.
I have so many opinions.
I know.
Harry's got so many inappropriate comments to
make. Let's package those and actually do another podcast after the press conference.
Have you seen the count of people listening to this? It is slowly going down.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
Half the people are usually in bed by this time that are listening to this. So, why is the chat open? Am I missing something? That's great.
We just finished an hour and 20-minute long podcast.
Right on time, Laser.
Jeremy. Show up on time for stuff.
Nice.
Or just plain show up.
Oh, dedicated fans. All right, so we're going to put this podcast up. It should be on iTunes tomorrow or Friday morning because of the way they do it. But we'll have a direct link on here. So a lot of people ask, well, how can I listen to it in the car if it's not up on iTunes yet? Because they don't do the pinging thing anymore. It's a long story with iTunes.
Straight download, right click, save as.
Apple is very specific on there. So you're in the car, just click on the link and, you know, plug it into the little the thing on your phone to listen to it in your car, and it'll play. So it's a pretty easy deal. With that, we will hopefully there's an announcement, and we'll do this again next week or something.
Sounds like fun.
So
we got to talk spring game. We got to talk buying stuff at the garage. There's so much.
There's so much
happening in North Texas land.
We're just not doing it tonight. All right. With that, we'll let you guys go. Go Me Green.
Ball game.
Go Me Green.